Springbok Radio proudly presents Tales from the Seven Seas. Stories specially written for this series by Annette McKenzie and Jack Mullen, and introduced by Hamish McLeod.
Summer of 1976, three married couples, friends of many years standing, decided to spend their annual holiday together at the coastal town of Dymchurch in the south of England. There was Bill and Jean Bradley, Derek and Roma Pendlington, and Mike and Valerie Fairley. As I said, the three couples had been friends for many years, so the holiday was relaxed and pleasant. Up to the day when the three men went off on an all-male fishing trip. I've called my story The Unexpected Catch.
Try our luck here.
He's only been rowing for 5 minutes. He's on the verge of collapse.
Oh, rubbish.
I told you were out of condition, Dick.
I'm rowing against the tide.
No excuses. No excuses. Maybe you better take
him. Oh, no.
He gained purple in the face.
I'm not.
You don't want him faking out, all right?
I've got a better idea. Why don't you take over, Mike?
Huh? I would, but I'm in charge of the fishing equipment.
Yeah.
And you know what the union rules are.
Oh,
here's your answer, Derek. Call a strike.
Right. Strike on. I'm dying of thirst.
Toss the anchor over, Mike.
No, we're supposed to take it with a beer.
Yeah. Good idea.
Yeah. Go that side.
Oh, cheers.
First to deck.
Cheers. Oh, that's better.
But, no joking, we're not really very far out.
What makes you think the fish are? What makes either of you think that we're going to catch anything, huh?
Well, there's confidence for you.
The last time the three of us went fishing was Easter before last, if I remember
correctly. Right, yeah.
We ended up buying a few fish in the harbour to try and save fish.
Yeah, I remember.
But Dean wasn't fooled for a second, and neither were Rome or Valerie.
He should have known better than to take home kippers.
Hey, that's a good idea. We'll buy three pairs of kippers on the way back.
Oh,
and them into the hotel kitchen as our catch. How about that?
What a pity it isn't one of those fishing hotels. You put your catch on the tray in the hall.
We might just ask the manager to provide a tray for us. I have a feeling I'm going to be lucky today.
Oh, yeah?
So enough of this tomfoolery. Let's get down to business.
Lucy felt lucky today.
I didn't say when today.
Well, we can't stay much longer. We've got tickets for the theatre tonight, remember?
Oh, yeah.
By the time you row us back, Mike.
Well, we can't go back without at least one fish. I know I'm going to catch them.
So far, you haven't even brought up an old boot.
Hold it. I've got something.
What's a belly is another clump of seaweed.
I can tell by the weight.
Oh, the old man of the sea, whose infallible instinct leads him to the great white whale.
You're laughing on the other side of your face when you see
a square tin fish. Oh, I didn't know they came like that, Mike.
Another strange denizen of the deep. You and I, Bill, we would take that to be just another tin biscuit box. But an experienced fisherman like Mike here, well, he knows it's a fish.
Here we go. There must be something in it.
Well, I could be mistaken, but I don't think pirates usually bury their treasure in biscuit boxes.
No, not pirates, no. But I know what's going through his mind, Derek.
Hmm?
That film on telly a couple of weeks ago,
hmm?
You know, when the jewel thieves buried their loot on the beach, He thinks it's full of diamonds.
Diamonds? Just remember, we split the reward three ways,
yeah.
Mike.
Yeah, it'll be that day after all your talk about Tid Tid. Yeah.
Well, go on. Open it.
Go on. Yeah. Oh, pebbles. Oh, bad luck, Mike.
Ah, where you go.
Oh, yes.
I'll dump it back in. And does either of you have any use for a box full of pebbles?
Not at the moment, no.
I submit you could have something different in Crazy Baby.
Yeah, I'm sure Valerie would have liked the idea. Why don't you suggest it to her,
Mike? I'd like to see her face if you did. And if we're late getting back, the three of them are going to be glowering.
You're right, Derek. Time is getting on. So, unless we all want to be in the dog box, we better weigh anchor.
You'll have gathered, the three men were not serious fishermen. They were only out for a bit of relaxation and enjoyment, and the biscuit tin filled with pebbles caused Mike a great deal of good-natured ribbing on the way back. It was the only thing they fished out of the sea that day. But this didn't really depress them, and they made their way back to the hotel in high spirits.
You had the cheek to complain about my rowing. Took us twice as long to get back as it did going.
Rubbish.
What do you mean, rubbish? Look at the time.
We'll take a shortcut through the lane. The quickest way to the hotel.
Plenty we've got the theater tickets for tonight. I'm in the mood for a good dinner, then a sleep in front of the telly.
And there's the picture, typical middle-aged suburbanite.
And he says that with a straight face. One day, out in the
road... Hold it right there.
What?
Now, listen, mate. I don't know what you think you're doing.
I'm telling you to hold it right there.
This is what's officially called a firearm. And if I should pull the trigger, it could do a lot of damage. Got it?
Jim?
Yeah, Luke?
Look, wanted to make certain it was you. Now then, hand it over.
What? And what
over? Don't get funny with me. I said hand it over.
Look, you're wasting your time.
Jim, did you... Stop. That's better, chum, that we don't play games.
Look, we've been out fishing. We've no money on us to speak of, unless it's our watches you're after.
Jim. We saw you. Now, where is he?
Careful there. He has a gun.
What? Got it. Get that gun.
When did you get the police?
Stop it, Jim.
You okay, Bill?
More or less.
My jaw isn't broken.
You know, when you started, just for a second, I thought there actually was someone coming into the lane.
The old route is still working.
If we're all okay, let's get after them.
No, hold it. I don't mind a fight if it's forced on me, but this was an armed hold-up. It's a job for the police.
He's right, you know, Mike. We've got the gun. Maybe they can trace them through that.
Ah, they always file off a serial number. It's probably stolen anyway. But let's go and report it and see what happens.
Reporting the matter of the armed hold-up to the police took quite some time, and when the three men eventually returned to their hotel, they found that their respective wives had got tired of waiting and had gone off by themselves to the theater. So Bill, Mike, and Derek had nothing to do but sit in the hotel lounge and go over the day's events.
Well, the girls might have been in a flaming temper when they went off to the theater, but they'd be stricken with remorse when they found out why we were so late.
Don't bank on it. The first question they'll ask is why we didn't phone them from the police station.
Always the optimist.
Experienced, Derek. Long years of experience. Your trouble is that after all this time, you still haven't learned. You still expect Roma to believe you.
Oh, why shouldn't I? When I'm telling her the truth.
But how is she to know it's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? They'll assume that we're embellishing the hold-up to cover up for being late in the first place. I mean, look at it objectively. From their point of view, the three of us were dressed in old clothes, back from a day's fishing. Why would anyone hope to steal anything from us?
That, Mike, is the crux of the matter. And the more I've been thinking about it, the less accidental it seems. The one fellow, Luke, followed us into the lane. But the other chap was obviously standing guard at the other end. They were making sure they got us.
Not necessarily us. The lane's a shortcut through to the main street. Lots of people use it.
Yes, lots of people use it coming from the harbour. But most people coming from the harbour don't have any valuables on them.
I take your point, Bill. And that still doesn't prove they were waiting specially for us. Why would they?
Well, the police took it as just another attempted robbery.
I know.
Well, they were surprised when we gave them the gun. You remember?
Yeah, that's right.
The police sergeant actually said that in a case like this, a gun was very unusual. Now, those two thugs didn't ask us to hand over our money or watches or whatever.
No, they...
What the first one said was, hand it over.
That's right. And
that's what we told the police.
Yeah, well, that's what we reported.
Yes, right? But the second fellow, the one called Jeb, he said something else. Yeah, it's just come back to me. He said, we saw you, where is it?
Wait a minute. You're right, Bill. He did say that. It was just after he smacked me once.
Yes, you're right. In all the confusion that slipped my mind. But you're dead right. He did say, we saw you, where is it?
Yes,
hang on a minute. We're all agreed on that, so, so just for the sake of argument, suppose they were waiting for us. The three of us and no other casual passers-by. What was it they were after? I mean, hand it over. And where is it? That sounds like something specific.
I think the most important phrase is, we saw you. I hand it over could be a general term. Hand over the lot, or even where is it could mean, where's the cash. But if you add on, we saw you, it changes the picture, doesn't it?
That's exactly what's beginning through my mind.
There's something else too, isn't there? I can tell by the look on your face. Where is it, Bill?
It'll sound crazy.
Well, so? There's only the three of us here.
Well, that biscuit tin filled with pebbles.
What?
Well, I told you it sounded crazy.
What about the biscuit tin?
Supposing there's something valuable in it, underneath the pebbles. Supposing they're looking for it, and they saw you haul it up on your fishing line.
How could they have seen him?
There's a new invention just on the market, known as binoculars.
So why would they be watching us before we hauled up the biscuit tin? I mean, they'd have to have been watching us before, or they wouldn't have seen the tin come aboard. They couldn't have known it would get entangled on Mike's line unless...
Unless what, Derek?
Unless they'd been on the lookout and seen us row into the area. That could be it, couldn't it?
Yes. If they knew the biscuit tin had been dropped in the area, then a strange rowing boat comes along and anchors there. Obviously, they'd keep a watch on it.
And if they saw you hauling the tin in, and remember, they know there's something valuable in it, it would never occur to them that we'd toss it back into the sea again.
Listen, I vote we get up at the crack of dawn and try to find the exact spot where we were today. We can take markings from the shore.
Well, that's easier said than done. But at least we could try.
What do you say, Dave?
Well, I say yes, but with reservations. They think we have whatever it is they're looking for, and they've already pulled a gun on us to try and get it. They'll still be after us.
He's not stupid, you know.
Let's work out a plan of action. Take markings from the shore.
Oh, that's a good plan. At least rowing keeps the blood circulating. Phew, if I'd known how silly it was going to be this morning, I'd never have volunteered to be the driver.
You thought it'd be less work, didn't you? You've only been down half a dozen times. That's not too bad.
Times. I wish we'd brought a flask of hot coffee.
That was an oversight. Never mind. We'll have an appetite for breakfast when we get back.
And if we don't manage to fish out the box, we'll have a lot of explaining to do to the better half. Only just accepted our story last night.
That was because they'd enjoyed themselves at the show.
Wait a minute. I think this is about where we were yesterday. Sure of it.
How many times has that been said since we came out this morning?
If at first you don't succeed.
Yes. Over goes the anchor once again.
Under the goggles, Eric. Down you go.
Keep your fingers crossed.
A nice dive, maybe a lucky one.
Finding a needle in a haystack is reputed to be a difficult task to accomplish, but even more difficult was finding a biscuit tin in the ocean, as Mike, Bill and Derek discovered. The most infuriating part was knowing that it was there, and perhaps it was this knowledge that kept them searching hour after hour. But eventually the time came when they had to concede the possibility of defeat.
Oh, God. I think I've just about had it. I'm afraid we're wasting our time. If we haven't found it by now, we never will.
I suppose you're right. I hate giving up.
It's maddening to think that we had it in our hands yet.
Now, look, what do you say to just one more dive? One more, and then we call it quits, huh?
Fine by me. Mike?
No, we can't go on like this forever. So let's have one last dive, fun.
Okay.
I'll go over the port side this time.
Now we're getting really technical.
Here we go.
I don't know about you, but my stomach thinks my throat's been cut.
Well, I certainly wouldn't say no to a plate heaped with bacon and eggs. Plenty of toast and marmalade as a follower.
And lashings of hot tea.
Yeah, yeah.
The poor old Jake's got the worst end of this yawns. I'm glad he offered to do the diving.
That was last night. We waited till this morning and tested the chill in the air, and we'd have been tossing up for it.
Hey! I found something.
A biscuit tin?
No, something else. I'm going to bring it up. Get ready to take it from me. It seems to be heavy.
If it isn't a biscuit tin, why bother?
I want to see what it is.
He's a glutton for punishment, isn't he? What's the betting you'll be flakers for the rest of the day after all this?
I don't think I'll be too active myself. It's trouble with coming on holiday. Fresh air. As long as I know what's hit them. I need a quiet evening in a smoky atmosphere to get back to normal.
And a few mornings sleeping in. Getting up at the time we did this morning was just ridiculous.
Well, that was your brilliant idea.
If it isn't too much trouble, will you two shut up and take this?
Okay.
Right. Got it. Okay, careful with it.
Give me a hand, Mike.
All right. Hey, where's my jersey? The water's really freezing.
You shouldn't have made that last dive. What rubbish has he come up with? Not that it matters. It was a biscuit tin we were after.
Whatever it is, it's wrapped in tarpaulin. I haven't been sparing with a string. I'll never undo these knots.
Yeah, hang on a minute. Here's a knife.
I have no idea what it can be. Someone's taken the trouble to wrap it up so well.
Come on. What is it, Bill? It's metal, isn't it?
That's right. They're, printing plates.
Yes, they are.
For printing
what?
Notes. Money. That's what they are. Plates for printing money.
Oh, that's what they are, all right. Why would someone throw them into the sea?
Let's get back with them, and then maybe we'll find some answers to all our questions. Through the lane.
Just stand where you are. And this time my partner has a gun as well.
Don't come too close, Jim.
Okay, I've got him coming from here.
Seems like it was a little mistake yesterday. You didn't bring the goods with you.
We figured that out when we found you'd hired a boat first thing this morning.
Thought you could work it quickie, didn't you? Now just hand that parcel over if you don't want to get hurt.
You're the one who'll get hurt if you don't drop that gun.
Right. Your partner won't get far. The lanes cover the both ends. Right, then. I think we'll be on our way to the station. If you'll follow me, gentlemen.
Sergeant.
Yes, Mr. Fairley, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Thanks for covering the lane as we requested, but could we ask another favour? When we get to the station, would you phone our wives and explain that we'll all be a little late back?
Two thugs gave the priest the leads they needed to round up a whole group of forgers. And Mike, Derek, and Bill were given all the details of how new plates were being delivered to the criminals by boat, how a coastal patrol appeared and someone panicked and threw the package overboard. They had been searching for it for weeks and keeping a close watch on the area, and when they saw Mike hauling in the biscuit tin, they assumed it was the tarpaulin-wrapped plates. And the biscuit tin itself, that was just what it seemed.
You've
You've been listening to Tales from the Seven Seas, written by Annette McKenzie and Jack Mullen. Listen next week at the same time to another enthralling story of the sea, produced by Andre Botman.